You know, we are 1 week away from WrestleMania, and a lot's been made of John Cena is not on the show every week, and John Cena hasn't addressed The Rock, and what happened with The Rock at Elimination Chamber, right? He hasn't said anything about it. Because the last time we saw The Rock, John Cena had sold his soul. He walked off with The Rock at Elimination Chamber. So, yeah, some people are still talking about that. I am just left, as I sit here, having watched this SmackDown show tonight, I am left sitting here wondering if maybe John Cena was not the only one who had their soul taken by The Rock in Toronto that night. I have a feeling that The Rock also took SmackDown's soul because it has been missing from this show. It has been missing from this show for a while now, but it was very apparent tonight. We are 1 week away from WrestleMania, and this show just had no soul. As a WrestleMania show, we're on the road to WrestleMania here. Yeah, I'm watching this show tonight, and I don't feel anything. I didn't feel this way watching Raw, but I watch this show, and I feel nothing. And we are 8 days away from WrestleMania. This should not be. This should not be. This is not how it was a year ago. But I just find myself completely apathetic towards everything that they're throwing out there tonight on this show. And we are 8 days out from the biggest show of the year. What is going on here? I also thought that tonight we would get some resolution to the situation with Randy Orton. Now, if you watched SmackDown last week, then you know that Randy Orton, he lost his opponent for WrestleMania. Kevin Owens is going to be undergoing neck surgery, and he is out of WrestleMania. And so Randy Orton needs an opponent. And we actually did get him in the ring tonight, face-to-face with Nick Aldis. But by the time this show was over, we were no closer to a resolution to the question of who will Randy Orton's opponent be for WrestleMania. So they are going to wait until the final SmackDown, 24 hours before WrestleMania, to make a decision, if they haven't already, and fill us in as to who the opponent or opponents are going to be for Randy Orton. Because I have a couple of different theories about where it may be going, and I hope to God that one of my theories is correct, because the one theory they put forth tonight that they really pushed and teased is that Randy Orton may be wrestling Solo Sikoa at WrestleMania, which would be the worst fucking decision of all the possibilities. If I was to make a list, that would be pretty way down at the bottom of that list. I certainly hope that that is not going to be the match that they are giving us at WrestleMania. But that's the match they wanted you to believe when this show was over that they might be giving us. Randy Orton and Solo Sikoa. I am hoping that this is all just a swerve, just to throw us off. We'll find out next week, because we certainly didn't find out tonight. We didn't get our answer there. Cody Rhodes was on the show tonight. And as Cody Rhodes promos go, this was one of the better ones I thought that he cut, but we still have the same issue where he's out there. No John Cena on the show tonight. John Cena is going to be on the show next week. He'll be in Las Vegas. So he'll make an appearance on SmackDown, because SmackDown is in Las Vegas next week. Cody Rhodes was in the ring. He was in the ring surrounded. You see some of the belts over my shoulder over here. He was surrounded by championship belts. And again, in terms of what they were going for, I actually thought it was well done. But still, Cody Rhodes has had to do a lot of heavy lifting here on this road to WrestleMania. Because even the times when John Cena was there, and he wasn't there the first 2 weeks after Elimination Chamber, right? The so-called biggest heel turn in wrestling history. I can't tell you how many times I had to hear that shit coming out of Elimination Chamber. The biggest heel turn in wrestling history. Don't you feel fucking stupid? So he missed the first 2 weeks coming out of that. Then we finally saw him. Those next 2 weeks, though, we had no interaction between him and Cody until we got hit with that great promo when they were in London, right? And that was great stuff. And that was the only thing that we got. And maybe we'll get something on the show next week, because Cena will be there. But Cody has had to really carry this largely on his own. And it's very difficult when you have a situation like this. And this has happened at times over the years. It happened years ago with John Cena, as a matter of fact, the year that he ended up wrestling The Undertaker at WrestleMania, right? Remember Undertaker? He didn't show up. John Cena went to WrestleMania as a fan that year to sit in the crowd. until he finally came out and had his, whatever it was, 3-minute match with The Undertaker. Kevin Owens a few years ago with Stone Cold Steve Austin, who never appeared on the show but for a pre-tape, I think, that he sent in. But he had to carry it, you know, the whole Kevin Owens segment thing. Like, there are situations like this, but this is the WWE Championship match. And I feel like there's only so many things that Cody can go out there and talk about. Only so many things he can go out there and do to keep the interest level up for this. And he's doing as good of a job as you could possibly ask him to do. But there are limitations to what this man can do. And so here we sit now heading into WrestleMania. We don't know what's going to happen at WrestleMania. We don't know if John Cena is going to win. We don't know if he's going to lose. We don't know if he's still going to be a heel after WrestleMania. We don't know if he may go on and have a great run for the next 4 or 5 months as a heel. We still don't know. Is The Rock going to be there, right? Still a lot of questions. But I can sit here at this point and tell you that now that we're a week out, a lot of the things that I was hoping we might see with John Cena as a heel, we've got none of it. And at least up to this point, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope that this is not the end of the heel turn. We're going to get to see more of him, you know, and they're going to come up with some really fun stuff, right? I want to believe this is his last year. This is his last shot to give us something as a heel, like to really give us a heel run that we haven't gotten in 20 years. So I so want to believe that it's not going to be something that they give up on and, you know, okay, it's time to switch him back and move to the redemption arc in 2 months. I so want to believe that. But up until this point, I will tell you that this has been a massive disappointment. But God bless Cody. He's doing the best that he can do. Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair, they had their train wreck of a segment on the show last week. And I said, please, for the love of God, if there's one request that I have, do not put a microphone in their hands again. Between now and WrestleMania, we do not need to see a microphone in their hands and them going back and forth. In fact, they should be kept as far apart as possible. Well, they were not kept far apart, but at least they were kept apart in terms of cutting promos on each other. We did not get that tonight. We got a little bit of a follow-up involving them. It wasn't anything terribly offensive, but I still feel the same way I felt last week, which is that I just want to get to the match at this point. I really don't think there's much else that can be done between now and then to, you know, really heat this thing up to any sort of great degree. Let's just get to the match and see how it goes. I actually am very curious to see how this match is going to go at WrestleMania between these two women. We have a new number one contender set for the women's tag team titles. We had a gauntlet match tonight. I'm going to tell you who that is. Rey Fénix had his second match on SmackDown since his debut last week. And the cards are now set. I have news for you later on here in the review. I'm going to share with you the matches, not the match order necessarily, but the matches for WrestleMania Saturday and the matches for WrestleMania Sunday. They gave us the rundowns for both nights tonight. We're going to go over that. Something I'm also going to go over, I may as well go over it right now. We now know who the inductors are going to be for the WWE Hall of Fame inductees here for the class of 2025. I will put them up on your screen right now, and as you can see, Triple H, no surprise here, going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame by his best friend, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. So we'll have a little DX induction there. Michelle McCool, going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame by her husband, The Undertaker, and this is unfortunate. And I say unfortunate, look, DDP's awesome, and he's actually helping Lex Luger right now. They're working together, and he's trying to help Lex, you know, not just stand up for longer periods of time, but actually walk, and he's doing great work, and he's been a great friend. But it appears that the hope that Lex had of having his best friend Sting induct him into the Hall of Fame is dead. And so it will be Diamond Dallas Page doing the induction for Lex Luger into the Hall of Fame. My impression is that Sting never even went to Tony Khan to ask him. I'm not even sure Sting bothered asking him if he would be able to induct his friend into the Hall of Fame. But now we know it's not going to happen. And doing the induction for the Immortal Moment match that they have selected, the first match ever to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, Bret Hart against Stone Cold Steve Austin, CM Punk will be doing the induction for that match, which is appropriate. Punk is a huge Bret Hart fan, and we know he's a huge Stone Cold fan. I was kind of hoping maybe Shamrock would do it. You know, Shamrock, it would get him involved, and Shamrock was actually a part of that match. But it will be CM Punk, which is a fine choice. Now, you'll notice here from this graphic what they did not announce, unless The Undertaker is doing it as well. This graphic, the way it's written here, is a little weird. But they have not listed anybody to induct the natural disasters. So as of this moment, Earthquake and Typhoon, they have no inductor listed. I am wondering if it might be Cody Rhodes. For those who don't know, Cody is the nephew of Typhoon. Uncle Fred, as he calls him. So it would make sense if Cody was the one to do the induction, but as of this moment, there is no name attached to the natural disasters. So that is your lineup for the Hall of Fame. Of course, they also announced some legacy inductees this past week. Kamala will be going in, Dory Funk Sr., and Ivan Koloff. But they do not get formal inductions like everybody else does. So that is your class of 2025 in the WWE Hall of Fame. And this is your SmackDown review live here on YouTube for Friday, April 11th, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you guys for hanging out with me here on a Friday night. Don't you all wish you had an Uncle Fred just like Cody does? How cool would it be to be able to tell people, like if you're a little kid, and you could tell your friends that the Shockmaster is your uncle? People make fun of the Shockmaster, but I mean, let's be honest here. Like, how fucking cool would that be? I wish my uncle was the Shockmaster. All right, let's get into this show here, because SmackDown opened with General Manager Nick Aldis. And he was in the ring to introduce Randy Orton down to the ring. This was after he got dropped by an RKO out of nowhere last week. So Orton said he could tell by the look in Aldis's eyes that he took what happened last week personally. And he said that Aldis can't expect him to believe that he didn't see himself eating an RKO at some point. He reminded him what I reminded all of you of last week, which is that he had paid a double fine a long time ago, like 2 years ago almost. He had paid a double fine for an earlier RKO that he had given Aldis. So he said, "I consider us even now." That's not how this works, by the way. To consider one even, like I understand, like in his mind, like, oh, you fined me, and so I gave you an RKO, but, you know, at the same time, like, Aldis didn't put his hands on him. It's not exactly a one-for-one type of situation here. Orton said this was supposed to be his 20th WrestleMania, which I did not realize, but this would be his 20th WrestleMania. Orton said that he needs this match, even if that means that Aldis ditches the suit and gets back in the ring for one night. So already, right here, right off the bat, they were teasing it. And that's what made me think, okay, maybe this really isn't going to happen. Because they just came right out with it, and he just planted the idea. He wasn't subtle about it at all. He goes, well, why don't you just take off the suit? Why don't you get in the ring with me at WrestleMania? Now, maybe they're just doing that to throw us off the scent. That is a possibility. Because, again, we still have no decision. Maybe they're just throwing us off the scent by making it seem obvious and making us think, oh, well, then they're not going to do that. That's kind of what I'm hoping. Aldis said that he busted his ass for 20 years to make it to WWE. And then he paused. I think maybe he was waiting for, like, a positive reaction from the crowd. And instead, They didn't really react, and then they booed. So I don't think that was the reaction that he was necessarily going for. So Aldis said that he doesn't need Orton's money. What he needs is his respect. Orton said Aldis has his respect. He gained it a long time ago. But I can't promise I'm going to apologize to Mickey James after I do what I'm going to do if I don't get my match. That brought out Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga, and I had a pit right in my stomach when I heard that music. I'm like, oh my God. And here they come, and they make their way out. Solo asked Aldis to tell Orton to leave the ring. And Solo said no one wants to hear Randy whine about not having a match at WrestleMania. He said Orton is in the past, and that's where LA Knight is going to end up after Jacob Fatu beats him to win the U.S. title at WrestleMania. Orton said he was trying to be diplomatic for the first time in his career, but Solo and Tama were making him hear the voices. Then Orton called for them to get in the ring. They kind of surrounded him on either side. He tried to fight them off. They ended up getting the better of him until LA Knight ran out to make the save. And they cleared the heels from the ring. And Knight said that he knows Orton didn't get enough. Neither did I. And he asked Aldis, how do you feel about a tag team match? And Aldis said he felt good about the idea. Well, of course he did, because apparently he had no main event for tonight. Now he did. Evidently, there was no main event coming into the show tonight. So, of course, Nick Aldis was very happy, because now he got himself a tag team main event. But, even the mere tease of a Solo Sikoa match. And look, Solo Sikoa has made great improvements to his character work over the past year, right? The Solo Sikoa that we have now on TV is a very different version of the Solo Sikoa that we had for years when he was part of the Bloodline. He was the silent enforcer. And he's really been able to show off more of his personality. I'm not saying the guy is absolute dog shit, okay? Don't get me wrong. But the idea of doing Randy Orton against Solo Sikoa at WrestleMania does fuck all for me. That is not a match that excites me in the least. It actually feels to me like it's a match I've seen 1,000 times. And I'm sure it's happened a few times. I don't know the exact number of times, but it feels like, you know what? Been there, done that. I have no interest in this. Can we please get away from this? The fact that they're even teasing it and it's even a possibility for WrestleMania makes me very sad. Especially knowing what we could have had with Orton and Owens. And obviously, anything they do with Orton is not going to have the story behind it that match would have had. And that's unavoidable. That's not Triple H's fault. That's not WWE's fault. But now they're in a position where they can make a change and try to make a change that gives Randy Orton a fun match at WrestleMania. There is nothing fun about Randy Orton against Solo Sikoa. And again, I'll talk more about this when we get to the main event later, but I am hopeful that they are just swerving us here. They are just teasing us and making us think that this is going to be the WrestleMania match, but in fact, they have something better planned. Let us hope, because they could absolutely do better than that. Up next, we have the Women's Tag Team Gauntlet, with the winners challenging Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez for the tag team titles at WrestleMania. Liv and Raquel, they sat ringside to watch the match. So there were 6 teams involved here. First team out to kick off the gauntlet, Bayley and Lyra Valkyria, who just had an Intercontinental Championship match on Raw. That was actually pretty good. And Lyra won. And it kind of looked like Bayley maybe wasn't too happy with her at first. So like I said, Liv and Raquel were at ringside. Bayley and Lyra, they were a tag team here kicking things off against Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. Lyra rolled up Blazer. Yeah, I wish I could blaze one up right now. Lyra rolled up Baszler with a jackknife pin 3 minutes into this to eliminate them. So thanks for coming. So they were gone. Natalya and Maxxine Dupri, they were in next. Natty got some work in before tagging in Maxxine. And she went on a bit of a roll. And she did her worm into the standing elbow drop that she does. She did it to both Bayley and Lyra, who were laid out side by side next to each other. And then, I guess to impress Natty, she attempted to apply a sharpshooter. But before she could get the sharpshooter applied, Bayley rolled her up and eliminated her. And so Maxxine and Natty were gone. And Natty did not look very happy with Maxxine. So then up next in the gauntlet, Caden Carter and Katana Chance. They were right out of the club. So they make their way down to the ring. Carter and Chance, they hit their keg stand move. Valkyria kicked out. Carter landed a corkscrew dive out onto Bayley on the floor. Meanwhile, inside the ring, Valkyria hit her Nightwing finish on Katana Chance. And that was the end of Chance and Carter. Q, B-Fab and Meechan, they were out next. B-Fab landed something resembling a front neck breaker for a near fall. Meechan dropkicked Lyra and hit a splash on her while she was on the outside. Meanwhile, on the inside, Bayley hit the rose plant on B-Fab, and that was the end of B-Fab. see you later. Bayley and Lyra advance to the next round, which happened to be the final round of this gauntlet, and the final team out for this gauntlet, Chelsea Green's Secret Hervis, Alba Fire, and Piper Niven. Fire went to work on Bayley's leg as Niven ran Valkyria into the ring steps outside. Niven hit a senton on Bayley for a two count. The show came back from commercial, and Piper slammed her partner onto Bayley for a two count. Valkyria got the hot tag and landed a crossbody onto Piper. Valkyria then hit a tornado DDT. She went for a fisherman suplex. Piper countered into a suplex of her own. So Piper went to the second row, and she was saluting the crowd. This salute, not that salute. Valkyria cut Niven off, powerbombed her. Bayley tagged in, hit the flying elbow from the top rope. Piper kicked out at one. So Alba Fire tagged in, hit what I believe was her finish, but Valkyria barely broke the pin at the last second, made the save. All four women now are brawling. Bayley hit a Bayley to belly on Alba Fire. Piper Niven then landed a headbutt on Lyra. Valkyria tried to clothesline Niven out of the ring. Unfortunately, it did not work. She tried to get over the top. She wasn't able to make it over the top rope. She did end up on the apron anyway. And then Valkyria, she was able to slide through her legs, grabbed her in a powerbomb position, and she powerbombed Piper off the apron, which did not look fun. Even though she got her hands clasped behind the back of her head, that did not look like a fun bump to take. And so in the ring, Alba lifted Bayley. Bayley got loose, though, and tagged in Lyra. Bayley hit a rose plant, and Valkyria came off the top with a guillotine leg drop. And that was all she wrote. She wins the gauntlet for her team. After the match, Morgan, Rodriguez, they got in the ring. They had a little stare down with the challengers. The big takeaway here, this was a way for them to kill 30 minutes on a three-hour show. This went just shy of 30 minutes. It's one of the easiest gimmicks for them to use if they want to kill time. So it accomplished that. Bayley and Lyra, they go wire to wire, beginning to end. They started the gauntlet, they ended the gauntlet. And I'll tell you what, you know what? It got pretty good at the end. When it came down to the final two teams, outside of a couple of hiccups, it got really good. And unfortunately, I can't say the same for the rest of the gauntlet. The rest of this was rushed. It was heatless. You know, so when I say things like, I felt nothing, or I felt apathy, or I couldn't get into it, this is why. Because so many of these women, and so, I mean, I call them teams. These are not permanent teams in a lot of cases. But like, so many of the women that we saw here in this match, they don't get adequate time on television to really establish their characters in any meaningful way. And then they get thrown out in a match like this. And again, you're seeing round by round here in this gauntlet, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes. You can't get over. Unless your name is fucking Goldberg and it's 1998, you're not getting over in 2 minutes. So you're throwing these women out there. They're not over, right? People just don't give a shit because you haven't given them a reason to give a shit. And then they're getting bounced out every 2 minutes. It just felt like they're just killing time. That's it. When it came down to the final four, they got a little bit more time. And the crowd got into it, and it was good. But I can't say the same for the rest of this gauntlet match. And it's a shame because I look at a team like Caden Carter and Katana Chance, right? How often do we get to see Caden Carter and Katana Chance on television? They were on Raw, then they got moved, right? I think they got moved in the transfer window. We barely see them. And it's too bad because they work together as great as a tag team. Yeah, I talk about how so many of these teams are just put together and they're makeshift teams. They've been a team now for years, going back to their days in NXT, and they're actually pretty fucking good, but we never get to see them. So you could tell, like, when they went out there, they looked extra motivated because they knew we only have 2.5 minutes. So we're going to try to maximize our minutes and get the most out of it that we can. And they did, and nobody cared. Nobody really cared. But it's not for lack of trying, you know? I mean, again, what can you really do in 2.5 minutes? I mean, this entire show needs an overhaul, but especially when it comes to the women's division on this show, or the women's tag teams that they utilize, and that goes for both shows, they need a real revamp there as well. And when I say revamp, I don't just mean like shaking up the teams. I just mean a whole new approach to how they utilize talent on these shows. It's more apparent to me on SmackDown than it is on Raw. Raw is a little more tolerable anyway because it's 2.5 hours instead of three. And you might think, well, it's only 30 minutes. You know, SmackDown's only 30 minutes longer, so like it's not that big. It makes all the difference in the world. It makes a huge difference. And this is what we're going to have to deal with for a few more months until SmackDown goes back to 2 hours. But even when SmackDown goes back to 2 hours, these problems don't go away. The only thing that goes away are most of the women that you saw in this match. Because then they're going to have an hour less. Then they won't be featured at all. But it's on them to find a role for them on this show. I'm tired of seeing these people thrown out there. And then nobody cares. I don't care. They're out there for 2 minutes. It's like, are we back in 2019? 2018? I mean, there are times I'm watching some segments and matches on this show, and I feel like I've been teleported back into a time years ago. So at least we got some good stuff there at the end, but that's the best thing I could say about this. I don't actually see Bayley and Lyra winning the tag team titles. I don't see Lyra being a double champion. But they could use this as part of a longer-term story between Bayley and Lyra. You know, with one of them going heel at the end of it, I can't imagine that ends up being Lyra. It would probably be Bayley, and it would be for the better. So them going to WrestleMania gives them something to do, but it could be meaningful in that if and when they lose, it could be used to further the story between the two of them. And maybe that's why they dropped the story cold between Bayley and Roxanne Perez, which they were clearly building towards something with the two of them, and then they did nothing. Maybe they just, you know, they went this way instead of going that way, and they're like, hey, we have a story with Lyra. We want to do something with Lyra at WrestleMania, so we're going to go this way instead of going that way. If it works out that way, that's fine. They're building up a longer-term story between the two. I have no issue with that. They cut to the announcers. And Joe Tessitore referenced a video that he said started circulating online earlier today that went viral, showing Charlotte Flair attacking Tiffany Stratton outside in the parking lot. Now, they did not show the video. The video is on social media. It's actually very tame. It's a short clip, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds, and it's nothing great. You know, they just got in a little tiff, you might say. They got a little brawl out in the parking lot. They got separated. Speaking of which,
I'm squawking like a bird. Jesus Christ.
Hey, King Nader. King Nader is chiming in with that new Charlotte Flair super chat. That's what Charlotte sounded like last week when she was imitating Tiffany Stratton, and I'm not still, even now, quite sure what she was going for. I don't hear that when I listen to Tiffany, but evidently, Charlotte does. So they didn't show footage of the brawl outside, but they did say that both women are facing disciplinary action. I guess since Tiffany fought back, she got in trouble. And they said Charlotte Flair was sent home. And when they said that, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, great, that's perfect. That's exactly what I was hoping for, right? You don't put them together on the microphone. In fact, you don't even have them on the show at all. Just reference the fact that they had an off-camera brawl. It'll make it seem more real and leave it alone. And then we only have one SmackDown left to go. And I spoke too soon. We weren't quite done with these two yet. Now, Damian Priest was on his way to the ring. And as he's on his way to the ring, he gets jumped from behind by Solid Snake. I mean, Drew McIntyre. He was sporting an eye patch after he got glass in his eye. Real glass from that choke slam on the windshield of the car last week. So he battered Priest into the LED barricade, and Priest had to be helped to the back by producers. He looked like he was concussed or drunk or something. And they walk him to the back. But McIntyre is still in the ring. And so Snake Plissken grabs the microphone. And he said that Priest challenged him to a Sin City street fight at WrestleMania. And he accepted, even with only one eye, because that's just the kind of guy he is. He was getting some noticeable cheers, I should point out, when he was speaking. It wasn't overwhelming, but you could hear it. So McIntyre ripped the eye patch off to reveal that he is now 100% medically cleared, which means that Priest is 100% screwed at WrestleMania. And at this point, Damian Priest reappeared in the aisleway. He fought off officials to make his way back down to the ring. Not only was Drew getting some cheers before, Priest goes on the offense here. And clearly he's the babyface in this situation, or he's supposed to be anyway. McIntyre was getting some cheers before. Priest was getting nothing. It was just no heat for this at all as he's fighting back against McIntyre, as he's making his comeback. So he clotheslined Drew over the top to the outside. While on the outside, McIntyre grabbed the ring steps. He blasted Priest in the head with them. McIntyre then dropped Priest with the Future Shock DDT on the steps, on the flat part of the steps. McIntyre then ripped Priest's necklace. He had a necklace around his neck. Ripped it off and held it up. They have tried to get heat on this rivalry between these two. I mean, obviously, it's nowhere near as hot as the McIntyre Punk program from last year. And Priest just hasn't been getting the same reactions on SmackDown that he was getting on Raw. You know, when he was at the tail end of feuding with the Judgment Day, and he had just broken away from the Judgment Day, him and Rhea, they were getting these monster reactions on Raw. Like, go back after SummerSlam and go back and watch and listen to the reactions those two were getting. I mean, they were like superstars. And so now he's on SmackDown, which I thought was a great idea to finally get him away from the Judgment Day, give him some fresh talent to work with, and try to elevate him as a babyface standing on his own 2 feet. And he just hasn't gotten over at that same level. Like, you just listen to the reactions. You know, when he was in the ring, I think it was before the Elimination Chamber, and he was one of the six guys in there. And there was that one week where they had, everybody was out there. They were all cutting promos on each other. Logan Paul came out. He stood in the aisleway. Priest felt like the odd man out here. He's like dropping it. He's trying to drop like one-liners and stuff, and they're not hitting. They're not getting over in the way that everybody else was. You know, but he's also on the mic trying to fight CM Punk and Drew McIntyre and even Logan Paul, who knows how to talk. And it felt like he was a little out of his league. And I don't know, he just hasn't caught on yet. I'm not saying he won't, but he hasn't caught on quite the same way on SmackDown as he was on Raw. And I hope he can find his groove, because he's somebody, I think Priest is very good, and I would like to see him get over at that same level. And I think he's someone that they are going to need to rely on, you know, to be a major name on that roster coming out of WrestleMania. So I hope he gets there, but I don't know. There's something missing there right now. But that Future Shock on the steps, that was a good spot. DIY and Pretty Deadly, they were backstage watching footage from DIY's match last week, their loss to the Motor City Machine Guns. Ciampa said that he thinks there's a conspiracy to keep them away from the tag team titles. Pretty Deadly said Gargano and Ciampa have gone crazy. And Elton Prince said desperation doesn't look good on them. Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin walked in after Pretty Deadly left. Sabin confirmed that they would be challenging the Street Profits for the tag team titles, not at WrestleMania. They're going to be doing that tag team title match on SmackDown. They'll be doing that match on SmackDown next week. So I misspoke last week. I just assumed that they were going to be doing this match on the WrestleMania card. They are doing a tag team title match on the WrestleMania card, not this one. This one they're doing on SmackDown, and it's so weird to me, because if you go back over the last few months, if you had to say which tag team division has really been more heavily focused on and has had more activity going around the championship, it would be SmackDown, right? DIY, the Motor City Machine Guns, Pretty Deadly, the Street Profits, and they have other teams as well. They have the Bloodline, the Legato, but like, there was more activity around those titles, everybody being so pissed off at each other and angry. And it just felt like there was nothing going on the Raw side when it came to the tag team titles. And so now we're going into the biggest show of the year, and it's the Raw titles that are on the line, and the SmackDown titles are relegated to SmackDown. That just feels wrong to me. So Shelley and Sabin will have to wait for another year. They will not get their WrestleMania debut this year. I mean, maybe they can, sit in the crowd, go off on the side somewhere, go watch the show from the crowd, but they're not going to be wrestling. So after a successful debut last week, Rey Mysterio was back this week for a second match, and he wrestled Birdo of Legado del Fantasma. Did I say Rey Mysterio? Rey Mysterio made his debut in 1989, not in 2025. Rey Fénix made his debut last week, and this week he wrestled Birdo of Legado del Fantasma. And as good as the match I thought was last week that he had with Nathan Fraser, this one was better. That was a very good match. I enjoyed this one better. They took a break about a minute in. When they came back, Birdo had the upper hand. Not for very long, though. Fénix landed a double stomp to his back. Fénix fired up the crowd. He hit a corkscrew splash over the top rope to the floor. And then back inside, he landed a rolling frog splash for a two count. We got a nice Liger Bomb at one point by Birdo that got him a near fall. Birdo went up top. I even hate calling him Birdo. I mean, yeah, he was Humberto for so long, and now he's just Birdo. Can we give the guy his name back, please? Can we do that? Oh, man. So Birdo went to the top. He tried a moonsault. Fénix got his feet up. Birdo took this ridiculous bump off of it. And Fénix walked the top rope. He kicked Birdo in the face with his goodbye amigo kick. He followed that up with a Mexican muscle buster for the win. After the match, Santos Escobar walks out and he gets in the ring. He makes Birdo shake Phoenix's hand. And so Birdo did so begrudgingly, and then he didn't look very happy at all, and he left. Escobar stayed in the ring, and then he wanted a handshake from Fénix. And Fénix looked very confused by all this. But he shook his hand, and he even did the Rey Fénix, the hand gesture that he does. He really went out of his way to show respect to this man. This is a very good match with a very odd post-match angle here. It made a little more sense after the backstage segment they aired later on, which I'll just get to that now. Birdo was sitting in the back on one of the equipment cases. He was looking very dejected. And so Escobar and Angel, they walk up to him, and Escobar tells Angel, "Angel!" Goes, "That was the kind of performance that I need from Legado del Fantasma." He was being very facetious now as he reminded us what Birdo said last week, because Birdo wanted this match. Remember, they were watching Rey Fénix in the back, and Escobar was commenting on how impressive he looked in his debut, and then Birdo walks in, and he goes, "Oh, this guy's a flash in the pan. I could beat him." So Escobar reminded us here. He says that, "Well, I thought that you were going to beat Fénix. I thought he was a flash in the pan." All he has to say right now is that he is extremely disappointed in him. He goes, "Angel, let's go find Rey Fénix so I can congratulate him on a job well done." And so off they went. Then Andrade walked up to Birdo and said, "I know you like Rey Fénix. He's a great wrestler, but you're a great wrestler too. Keep your head up and be proud." And Birdo stood up and he told him, "Mind your own business." And he walked away. I just have to say, Andrade needs a manager. I mean, I've said it before, and then he hasn't really been on the show in a while. He needs a manager. Like, he desperately needs a manager. I don't even care who it is. Male, female, someone on the current roster, someone from NXT they want to call up, me, anybody. This guy needs a manager. If it's just Andrade popping up and cutting little promos in the back, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. It's not his strong suit. We know how much of an emphasis they place on that in WWE. He's dead in the water unless they can pair him off with somebody. I'm telling you right now, he needs that extra person with him. And frankly, that's what made the combo with him and Zelina Vega work so well in NXT. They went together very well. He needs something like that. It might not be her, but he needs something like that on SmackDown. I hope he gets it. I don't know if they're going to have Birdo break out on his own. I mean, they were certainly teasing the idea here. So I don't know if they're actually going to, follow through with that and do that or not. I mean, let's be honest. If they were to do that, he has a tremendous amount of talent. But if they were to do that, it's not like it's going to turn his fortunes around. He's going to be either in the same spot he's in now or worse. He probably would be in a worse spot. I have no faith in them, or Triple H in particular, to actually, let's say, break this guy away from Legado and then follow through with any kind of meaningful push for him. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. I'm not saying he couldn't handle it. I'm not saying that the potential is not there for him to be a babyface that the people could get behind or that the women can get behind, right? He's a young guy and he, you know, he could branch out on his own and who knows the kind of success he may be able to have. I have no faith that they're actually going to push him at any meaningful level. So I actually think doing that is probably a bad idea. And I wish I didn't feel that way, but that's exactly what it is. It's a bad idea. This feels more like we're going to get Phoenix against Angel next, right? He beat Birdo, and now he'll wrestle Angel. He'll beat Angel, and then we'll get the match with Escobar because it'll basically be, well, you know, sometimes you got to do the job yourself. And so they'll do Rey Fénix against Santos Escobar. By the way, when I say job, job is actually the appropriate word here because job is what Escobar would be doing for Rey Fénix if and when they have a match together. And then we can get to the real match, which I think they're going to want to do at some point in the not-too-distant future, which is Rey Fénix against Andrade, which would be a fantastic match. And I hope we get it. I hope they do it. I think that's what ultimately this is building to. What I would love to see is let them build to a match between Rey Fénix and Andrade. Let that be a heel turn for Andrade when he loses, right? Andrade has not been featured. We haven't seen him do anything since the whole U.S. title, best of seven series stuff last year wrapped up. He's done nothing. Nothing. And so in storyline, it's not hard to come up with a story where he's sick and tired of being overlooked. He loses to Rey Fénix. That might just be what pushes him over the edge. And then you can debut a manager for him. And then try to heat him up again and try to push the guy as a heel with a manager. Tell me a better idea for Andrade. If not pairing him off with somebody after a heel turn and trying to kind of reboot this guy's push, what would you do with him? I'd love to hear it. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Picture it. Monday Night Raw is in town, and you're driving to the show when you suddenly get rear-ended. And while it may be the other guy's fault, you're the idiot driving around without any car insurance. It doesn't matter how great of a driver you think you are. With all the crazy people on the road these days, why would you even take the risk? That's what going online is like without ExpressVPN. You need a VPN because every time you connect to a network that's not encrypted, which could be anywhere outside your own home, your online data is not secure. Any hackers on that same network can easily gain access to your personal information and steal your passwords, your bank logins, you name it. It's all right there for the taking. And it doesn't take a lot of know-how to pull it off either. A kid in middle school could do it. Hackers can make a killing on your data, up to $1,000 per person selling it on the dark web. ExpressVPN stops hackers from doing so by creating a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. ExpressVPN is the best VPN because it's super secure and it's easy to use. Fire up the app, you click one button to get protected, and that's it. It also works on all of your devices, including phones, laptops, and tablets. And for customers in the United States, ExpressVPN comes with Identity Defender, a new suite of tools to get your data removed from data brokers, alert you when your data is compromised on the dark web, and even insure you against data theft for up to $1 million. There's a reason why ExpressVPN is ranked number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. I'm going to be flying out to different places over the next few months, and I'll be doing what I do on every trip that I take, which is making sure that I have ExpressVPN enabled on my phone. That way, I've got peace of mind knowing that I'm protected at all times. At the airport, in my hotel, it doesn't matter. It's that important to me. It's just not worth it to risk my credit card details or email passwords and all the things that would be a gigantic pain in the neck to have to change, let alone run the risk of having that information compromised. Now you don't have to worry about it. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster to find out how you can get up to 4 extra months free. expressvpn.com/solomonster. Byron Saxton was in the back. He interviewed Roxanne Perez right outside of Nick Aldis's office. And Saxton asked, well, what brings you to SmackDown? And she said that, well, since Ava wouldn't give me my answer about Stand and Deliver, she decided to speak to Nick Aldis. And she said that as the runner-up in the Royal Rumble, which I had completely forgotten about, she would gladly compete for the WWE Women's Championship at WrestleMania. She said Tiffany Stratton just can't handle the pressure. And that brought in Tiffany Stratton, who said that Perez could learn something from her. Perez said that she was happy that Stratton finally showed her true colors. And she said that she hopes it doesn't cost Stratton her WrestleMania match. I guess her little parking lot fight that happened earlier in the day. So Stratton said that at least she didn't come to SmackDown to beg for a match. So they're arguing back and forth, and there's this whole commotion and shouting outside of Nick Aldis's office, and he opens his door to find out what the hell's going on here. Stratton told Aldis that she would give Roxanne a match tonight. Aldis said, "I'll think about it. Now go cool off." After this, they aired a video package. I'm pretty sure this was taken from a CM Punk documentary that they did many years ago. I think it was 2012, maybe. I think that was the date they put up on screen. But it was basically Paul Heyman putting over CM Punk and Punk talking about his friendship with Paul Heyman and just basically how they're best friends. And showing people who maybe forgot or are newer fans and are not aware of the legitimate relationship between these two, how far back it truly goes. It's not just an angle that they did on the show last week, you know, where, hey, you know, I want you to be my wise man. And no, I mean, there's a real history there and a real friendship and relationship that goes back many, many years to the very beginning of Punk's run in developmental, when Heyman stood up for him and helped save his job. And he put him over to management, anybody who would listen at every opportunity that he had about the potential that this guy had and how this guy is going to be a champion and this guy is going to headline WrestleMania one day. So they just kind of distilled it all down to this one video package here just to educate people who may not already be aware of it. Chelsea Green, meanwhile, was trying to get into the trainer's room to talk to Alba Fyre and Piper Niven, but the door was locked. Zelina Vega showed up, walked by and told Chelsea she would find out what kind of champion she really is, right, without anybody there to help her. So off she went, and Chelsea was still clawing at the door, trying to get into the trainer's room. Well, I mean, what the hell happened in that match earlier that they would both be locked in the trainer's room? But apparently she's going to be on her own, because up next it was Chelsea Green, non-title, one-on-one against Zelina Vega. And before I get into this, I just have to acknowledge our friend King Nader. King Nader is the king. He has gifted 20 channel memberships, which means we have 20 brand new members here on this channel who now have access to some exclusive content, emojis, all that fun stuff. Thank you, King Nader. You are the man. I appreciate that. So with all that happiness out of the way, let me get into the thing that I thought sucked the most on this entire show. This almost sucked the life out of me watching this. This pissed me the hell off. So we had Chelsea Green and Zelina Vega. This was a complete waste of time. And thankfully, it only wasted about a minute of my time, because that's about as long as this went. So the bell rings. Chelsea starts the match. She throws her dress at Vega and starts attacking her. Chelsea hits a dropkick. It sends Zelina to the outside. So she throws Zelina into the barricade, and then she dropped her on top of the announce desk. And then she rolled her back into the ring. But instead of immediately following her back into the ring, she turns and she walks over to the announce desk where Joe Tessitore and Wade Barrett are, and she begins yelling at them, saying that she wants her secret hervis, right? She wants her women. She wants her ladies out there, and she's very upset that they're not out there with her. But then she very quickly rolls back into the ring. Now, as she is rolling back into the ring, you could see the referee, Ryan Tran. He hits the 10 count, and he calls for the bell. So they ring the bell. The crowd is dead silent because they have no idea what just happened. Like, it was very awkward. It wasn't evident right away that it was just the traditional count out. I actually thought Zelina might be hurt, because she was laying on the mat. Chelsea was basically hovering over her. She said something to her. Then she looked up at the referee. I'm like, uh-oh, did somebody get hurt? It was very, very awkward. And I didn't even realize, frankly, that he was counting so fast. She was about to roll back into the ring, and he's like, nope, you're done. I mean, every fucking week we have matches where people, they roll back into the ring, the referee, you know, they count very slowly, of course, So this was just very weird and very strange, and the fans at first didn't even know what the hell happened. They were completely confused. So then they announced Vega as the winner by countout. And Joe Tessitore, on commentary, he played up the fact that Chelsea Green was busy complaining, and that's what caused it. That's what cost her the match. She was too busy complaining on the outside, and it cost her the win. I cannot emphasize this enough. Triple H has done a horrendous job. Horrendous job. Okay? Of booking the women's mid-card titles, and more specifically, the women's United States Championship, because the women's Intercontinental title, just a little bit better, but not much. But he has done a horrendous job when it comes to these two titles that are still relatively new. They only introduced them a few months ago, okay? And they already mean shit. He has done such a god-awful job with this. And so now, you know, I look at this, and Zelina Vega now, right? Zelina Vega wins this match by countout tonight. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you honestly believe that this means in the career of Zelina Vega? Like, when they talk about, oh, she got a win over the champion. No, she didn't. She didn't win anything. Chelsea Green beat herself. She cost herself the win. Because as Joe Tessitore pointed out on commentary, she was busy complaining on the outside. Right? She was in control of the fucking match. She was throwing Zelina Vega around, bouncing her around outside like a rubber ball. She was throwing her into the barricade. She dropped her on the announce desk. She rolled her back into the ring. And then she got herself counted out. But then Zelina Vega slinks away, and she's like celebrating like it's some big fucking win. She looked like a complete goof. You didn't win anything. How is that supposed to get her over? How is that supposed to now in this storyline? Oh, well, I got to win over the champion. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Nobody in this match, nobody in this segment came off looking any better than they did coming into it. But the other thing also is this match here went about a minute. They went a minute. They are still rushing through matches on a 3-hour show. This is the only show at the moment, thank God, that is 3 hours long on a weekly basis. And they send these two women out there. And still, these two women on a 3-hour show cannot get more than 60 seconds of television time. This is what I mean when I said before. And this is an even worse example of this. It feels like this is exactly the way Vince McMahon would book a segment like this. It is like we are back to the Vince McMahon way of booking. Did he sneak back in? Did he put on the fucking glasses and the mustache and sneak back into Gorilla? Take a plastic bag like John Moxley and put it over Triple H's head or Road Dogg's head, drag him away, sit in his seat? I mean, what are we doing here? This is what I mean when I say that this people don't get over. The women in this division don't get over unless your name is Charlotte Flair or Tiffany Stratton. Or Rhea Ripley, right? The very kind of tippy top of the women in this division, like nobody gets over. When you see stuff like this and you wonder how is it that this women's division is in the shape that it's in, it's not really any wonder. All you have to do is look at a segment like this. This sucked. And you know who I feel sorry for? You know who I feel bad for? I feel bad for Chelsea Green and Zelina Vega. That this is the best that they could come up with for these two women. Zelina Vega goes out there every week, and she goes out there to fucking crickets. Nobody cares. And I can't even put all the blame on her. She is doing the best that she can with what she is given. How is she supposed to get over when she's involved in segment, when she's on the show, when she's involved in segments like this? So now she'll get a championship match against Chelsea Green that might be marginally better than this. Maybe you'll get a little bit more time. She'll lose, and then she'll go back to the line. She'll go back to catering, and nobody will give a shit. Or they'll say, well, she's not that over. So, you know, she had her shot, and now it's to the back of the line. But when you see some of these segments and the way they're used on TV, is it any wonder why some of these women are not over? Why some of these women, when they walk out there, whether it's a Zelina Vega or a Meechin or a B-Fab, they go out there and nobody cares. Like, this is supposed to be the time where you give people a reason to care and really try to build up some of these women. And then, you know, hopefully over time, they'll be able to get over. And look, it's almost like a baseball player, right? You have so many players in AAA, you have in the minor leagues. Not all of them are going to go on to be productive players at a major league level. Not all of them are going to go on to make fucking $800 million a year like Juan Soto, right? You're lucky if you get a small handful that go on to have that kind of success, but at least give them the shot. These women have no chance with booking like this. Zelina Vega has no chance with booking like this. None. I couldn't believe what I was seeing here. I mean, forget the awkwardness of the finish. Just a minute to do that. And she runs off like, ah, I won. And then she goes to the back and I'm like, you won nothing. Not to mention the fact that this just felt like a colossal waste of time. This is just terrible television. We're a week away from WrestleMania, by the way. We got this segment on SmackDown 8 days before WrestleMania. Chelsea will be fine, though, because she's the funny one. So she'll always be able to get TV time. Zelina and people like that at that level, they don't stand a chance. If this is the best they can come up with for them, they're fucked. They have no chance. It's ridiculous. Now, I'll tell you one woman who's actually doing very good work right now. And it was very brief. We had a video package. They each had a chance to talk. But this was very good. And that's Naomi. Naomi turned heel recently. Naomi is being given the chance to go out there and be a heel for the first time in 10 years. And so far, she's clearly putting her all into it and trying to make something out of it. She called Jade Cargill a snake. And then she laughed about pushing her off a ledge onto the hood of a car. She says she took her rightful place as one half of the tag team champions. She said Bianca Belair will not even look at her now that Jade is back. And Naomi said that she's doing what's best for her and she's going to get hers. And then she told Jade, proceed with caution. Jade Cargill responded during the second half of the video. She asked, what happens when a star starts to fade? They try to steal the shine from somewhere else. She said Naomi's glow is fading and that's what this is really all about. She says she's not a rookie anymore. She's Naomi's biggest threat. And then she said, a storm is coming. This was good stuff from both women, but I especially like the Naomi promo. And also very interesting to note here, she's still talking like she wants to be friends with Bianca. Still pointing out the fact that Bianca won't talk to me. All because of you. Ever since you came back, she won't talk to me, as if she's still trying to make contact with her. But Bianca just won't give her the time of day. Take that for what it's worth. I don't know if that's leading to something. Right? We've had discussions on the streams about Bianca maybe going heel coming out of WrestleMania. Still possible that Bianca and Naomi could end up on the same side again, but as heels. That'll be interesting to watch. So they had some of the production assistants setting up a bunch of classic WWE Championship belt replicas in the ring for the next segment with the WWE champion himself, Cody Rhodes. His opponent at WrestleMania, not here tonight, but it was up to him to come out and try to sell this match. And so they have all the belts set up in the ring. Most of it was, I don't want to say it was all of them. I didn't see the green Backlund belt out there. So I can't say that they were all out there, but they had the Bruno Sammartino belt. They had the Hogan 87 belt, the Winged Eagle, the Big Eagle from the Attitude Era. They had the Undisputed title, and they had the John Cena spinner belt. And then out came Cody with his giant logo belt, still better than the spinner. So the Seattle crowd launched into the European Cody Rhodes chants that we were hearing on all the international shows. They have carried over here to the U.S. Cody said the crowd had him flustered, and he thanked the fans here in Seattle. He even gave a shout-out to working for Defy, big independent promotion out of Seattle. That's Swerve Strickland's home. Defy Wrestling. Cody pointed to his title, which was also sitting there, and said that it means he is the best wrestler in the world. Cody said he's blessed to carry that belt, but it won't always be him. He said that his WrestleMania match is about keeping that title home. Cody said that there is one man trying to take all of that away. John Cena. He said Cena has neglected to make Seattle a part of his farewell tour. Of course, the crowd booed. He said Cena will be in Las Vegas for SmackDown next week. He said one thing that Cena said that sticks with him is what he said about Cody's neck tattoo, that it makes Cody look like just a common fan. Cody said, so what? He has the tattoo for the same reason he wears suits, not because he is somebody, but because he wants to be somebody. Cody ran through the titles on the tables. He paid homage to all of the former WWE champions. So when he got to the Winged Eagle belt, he referenced The Undertaker. When he got to the Undisputed title, he referenced Eddie Guerrero. Yeah, it's funny, too, because when I think of the Undisputed, first of all, let's go belt by belt. The Bruno belt is the Bruno belt, okay? He held that fucking thing for 8 years. When I think of that old, ugly green belt, the one that Hogan first won in 84, I really associate Backlund with that belt. The Hogan 86 belt is just that. It's the Hogan belt. I think he was the only one who held it. The Winged Eagle belt, you know, for the longest time I associated it with Hogan, and for me it might even be a tie. I associate it more now with Brett, honestly. Brett or Hogan, but really maybe more so Brett. The Big Eagle belt, so that one that you see right there, the Attitude Era Eagle, honestly, I associate that with Rock mostly. I can't even say Austin because part of it, you know, part of his run there, he had the Smoking Skull belt. I associate that mostly with Rock. The Undisputed title, I don't associate it first with Eddie Guerrero when I think of it. I associate it with Brock Lesnar. It really is Brock and then Eddie. And then the spinner belt, obviously, I associate that with Cena. It's like the Hogan 87 belt. There's a reason why it's called the Hogan 87 belt, because it was Hogan's belt. But yeah, the spinner belt obviously goes with John Cena. But it was nice to get an Eddie Guerrero reference here. Cody said Cena looks at the spinner belt and considers it a bad thing, but Cody doesn't. Well, that's because Cody Rhodes is wrong. He talked about how Cena said Cody isn't authentic, but he said he's the WWE champion and Cena is not. Cena always teaches, so maybe Cody can teach Cena something just this one time. He saw his father struggle with the same thing as a career babyface, he said. I hate, can I just say, maybe I'm just a traditionalist. I hate that they're normalizing this, that they're just normalizing just how liberally they're throwing out these mentions of heel and babyface, like on the actual show. Like, I don't have an issue. Like, they could do what they want, but I don't have an issue with it. Like, when they're on a talk show or something, but just like on the actual show in these segments, and Triple H did it just recently, and they're just throwing around heel and babyface now. Like, it's just part of the on-air vernacular now. It's just, I just hate that that's being normalized. He said the lesson is that the fans can love somebody else. Cody might be the captain here, but there's a roster full of people that the crowd loves, and he listed a whole bunch of names, including Rhea Ripley. Now he's got the task of making sure Cena doesn't win the title and take it home with him. This is the same thing Cody told Brock, and the same thing he told Roman. He's a wrestler, and that's what he does when backed into a corner. He said, the bell is going to ring, and when it's over, I will leave John Cena in the ring to have his moment to say goodbye to the fans. He won't quote Cena's lyrics at him. Cena already knows his time is up, and in the future, Cody's will be as well. But the WWE title is timeless, and he'll make sure it stays home and stays with us. So we got a Brock Lesnar name drop here on TV. We don't get those very often. I think his name was kind of alluded to in a promo once a few months ago. So yeah, that's a name, like Vince, that's a name you don't hear mentioned on TV. And no, I don't think that's indicative of any. Before people start saying, what do you think he's going to be at WrestleMania? Like, no, I don't think it's indicative of anything. It was just interesting that he threw it out there. As Cody promos go, it was one of the better ones. I thought he did a really good job with it. I thought he brought some great fire, especially at the end of the promo. They got really like zoomed in on his face, and he was really, you know, popping off there at the end. And I thought the use of all the old titles as props in the background, I thought was very effective. But to go back to what I said at the beginning of the stream, you know, this scene, a heel turn, has not been great. I don't care what anybody says. It hasn't. It feels very slapdash, very slapped together, and the lack of follow-up with the Rock stuff. I'm sorry, it's inexcusable. And when Cena isn't there, Cody is forced to do promos like this on his own, addressing his opponent who isn't there, just, you know, looking into the camera, and he does a good job with it. You know, he's done the best that he can do with what very little Cena has given him. You know, really, but for that 1 week where they went face to face, I just think he's done the best that he could be expected to do. Yeah, they had that one great segment together, and that's it. Cody has held up his end to try to keep this as interesting as possible. But I think when Cena turned heel at Elimination Chamber on March 1st, I don't care what anybody says. Even if you disagree with me right now and you're, oh man, you're loving the John Cena heel turn, that's great. That's great. I'm not saying I hate it. I'm just saying I hate that I don't enjoy it more than I do. Because I was looking forward to it as much as anybody once they pulled the trigger on it, which I never thought they would do. And that turn, initially, the way they did it that night was tremendous. And obviously it got a lot of mainstream attention and it went viral and all that kind of stuff. And so your mind begins to race with all these ideas of like, oh man, all these things that they could do. And, you know, I wasn't like attached to one idea where it's like, they have to do this, but it's like all the different possibilities and we've gotten none of it. None of it. Now, if he's going to be a heel for the rest of the year and we'll see this play out over the course of the next several months, then that's great. You know, and I'll be happy to eat my words at the end of all this, but here we are now. We're 1 week away from WrestleMania, and outside of really that one segment on TV, it's just been completely underwhelming. And maybe it was unavoidable with his schedule being what it is, but I was expecting more than what we've gotten. I hope what they do at WrestleMania can try to make up for it. But if I sat here and told you, man, this heel turn has been great, This John Cena heel turn's exactly what I was hoping it would always be, I'd be a liar, because it's not. And it sucks. I hate that I feel that way. I really wanted this to be like a major thing going into WrestleMania, because that was the whole point. It's like, if you're going to do John Cena against Cody Rhodes, you can't do babyface against babyface, man. That's going to be fucking boring, because there's so much alike in so many ways. Somebody has to go heel, and somebody did go heel, and yet here we are, and frankly, I'm not so sure that as I sit here right now, the way this build has gone, that it's radically that much more interesting than it would have been if you would have just kept them babyface. You know, that sucks. And if I'm a little selfish because I want more, it's because I know it's his last year, and the clock is ticking. You know, there's only a finite amount of time left in this. And so, yeah, I'm a little selfish here. Like, come on, man, you got to give us more than this. And we just really haven't gotten that so far. Now, Byron Saxton was in the back. He was interviewing the Street Profits. Montez Ford said that they like the Motor City Machine Guns and referenced how they say they don't care about the gold they wear, the chains and the grills and the reality shows. But you can't care about things that you don't have. Angelo Dawkins said the guns have been all over the world for 20 years, but save the congratulations for the IWC Glazers, because they run this division. Carmelo Hayes and The Miz showed up. Miz said that the fact that the tag team titles are not on the WrestleMania card this year is an insult to the titles. He said that he's putting them on notice that he's coming for his 10th tag team title, with the hottest young prospect in the business. And then Melo said they most definitely want the smoke, and then they walked away. So we got a babyface reference, right? We had Cody Rhodes talking about babyfaces, and we had a reference to IWC Glazers in back-to-back segments. Interesting. Tiffany Stratton against Roxanne Perez was up next. Tiffany hit a spine buster for a two count. Perez went for Tiffany's arm after that, but ran into a pop-up powerbomb. Tiffany missed a hip attack, and Roxanne slammed her. Then she went for a moonsault from the second rope. Tiffany, though, got her knees up, and after that, Tiffany went to the top. Roxanne cut her off, hit a Russian leg sweep from the top, and Perez went for a pop rocks, but Tiffany countered. They traded pin attempts back and forth. Perez worked a crossface. Tiffany, though, powered out and hit the prettiest moonsault ever to pick up the win. After the match, who should appear outside the ring but Charlotte Flair? Oh, boy. And so Charlotte Flair drags Tiffany out of the ring. She throws her into the barricades. She throws her over the announce desk. She gets up in Wade Barrett's face. And Wade Barrett tries to calm her down and is telling her, "You're going to get yourself fired." I had a good laugh about that. Yeah, as if. "You're going to get yourself fired if you keep doing this, if you keep acting this way." Because now they're portraying it as how she's unprofessional. Like attacking Tiffany earlier in the parking lot. Like she's unprofessional now. And so Charlotte stood tall to close things out here in this segment. They were clearly building to something. Let me talk about Roxanne first. They were clearly building to something with Roxanne and Bayley, as I said before. And they stopped it cold. But when you look at what they've done with Roxanne, they haven't done much this year with her, but the things they've done are very telling. She was in the Royal Rumble. What did she last? Like over an hour, right? She was in the Rumble for a long time. She was the runner-up in the Women's Royal Rumble. She qualified for the Elimination Chamber, and she was in the chamber. Here tonight, non-title, obviously, but she's in the ring wrestling. A week before WrestleMania, no less, she's wrestling the WWE Women's Champion. So you could tell, clearly, you know, that they see the potential that Roxanne has. I believe on NXT, this past week? I think she lost the qualifying match for the Women's North American title match coming up at Stand and Deliver. And again, the match with Tiffany tonight, more competitive than you might think. It wasn't like a squash or anything like that. So they see something in her. But it's been very odd how it's been very start and stop with her on the main roster this year so far. It feels to me like she's in that mode now where she's kind of doing the honors on the way out of NXT. And they just wanted to get to WrestleMania, let her finish out there. And then I would hope coming out of when I say coming out of WrestleMania, I mean like the week after. That Raw or SmackDown after WrestleMania. This woman needs to be on the main roster full time. No more of this stuff where she's cutting her time between NXT and the main roster and she's on SmackDown 1 week and then not again for 2 months. Like, you can't keep doing this. So I hope that's what's going on here. They're just kind of winding her down in NXT for another week. And then coming out of WrestleMania, let's get her on the main roster. Roxanne is great. And wherever they want to put her, she will be an asset to that women's division, whether it's Monday, whether it's Friday. It feels like Friday is where she'll probably land. But wherever it is, she'll be an asset to that show. But let's stop messing around here and get her up because they could certainly use someone like her. And they close the show with Randy Orton and LA Knight teaming up here in the main event against Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. Orton set up Solo for the draping DDT, and he hit it pretty early in the match, and then he was setting up for an RKO. Sikoa, though, countered into a Samoan drop. Tongaloa dropkick Knight off the apron. They went to their final commercial break. They came back, and Randy Orton was attempting to tag LA Knight, but he couldn't quite get there. Sikoa knocked Knight off the apron. He worked the always exciting chin lock on Randy Orton. Eventually, Orton got the hot tag to Knight. Tonga tagged in as well. Knight took care of him. Knight landed an elbow drop on Tama Tonga. Solo Sikoa broke up the pin attempt. Then he hit a Samoan spike on Knight. Orton gave an RKO to Tama Tonga, but then he ended up outside with Solo. The two of them fought off into the crowd. Back inside, Knight and Tama, they both stagger to their feet. They touch backs. You know, they back up into each other. And then LA Knight reaches back, hits a BFT, and picks up the win. When the match was over, guess who showed up behind LA Knight in the ring? It was Jacob Fatu, his opponent at WrestleMania. He super kicked him. He landed a running hip attack. He followed that up with his mighty moonsault. And then he hit a second one, and then they played his music, and they threw up the copyright, unlike poor Hook, who actually did throw up in the ring on Dynamite the other night, which I didn't catch right away, but that's not good. But they threw up the copyright on the screen. They made you think the show was over, but it wasn't over yet because Jacob wasn't done. And he went back up top. He hit one more mighty moonsault. And then they went off the air. So Orton brawls off with Solo Sikoa. And I'm left sitting here going, please, please don't tell me that their big backup plan is simply to put Randy Orton in the ring at WrestleMania with Solo Sikoa. I really hope that this is just them swerving us, right? They're leading us in this direction, and then next week they're going to smack us over the head with another idea. I think that's what's going on here. I hope, maybe it's just more hope than anything else. I hope that's what's going on here, because I'm sorry, that's just a fucking terrible match if that's the match they settle on for WrestleMania. Look, I know they were caught off guard, okay, by the Kevin Owens injury. I know that Owens just got the news last week and they quickly made the announcement. So they didn't know how bad it was until the last minute. Okay. And then they had to scramble and they had to come up with a plan B for one of their top stars. What are we going to do with this guy at WrestleMania? I get that. All right. So they had to pivot and go in a different direction. Nick Aldis still makes sense to me. It would be cool for him as well, you know, his first match in WWE to be at WrestleMania against Randy Orton. And there's a story there because Orton has now assaulted him multiple times, right? When Orton floated the idea in the opening segment, you'll notice the crowd reaction was pretty positive. It wasn't like he suggested, hey, why don't you take off the suit and get in the ring, and everybody just kind of sat on their hands. It sounded like the crowd was into the idea. It's right there, but I get it. If maybe it's 2 weeks' notice and he doesn't feel like maybe he can be, you know, in the shape he wants to be in on 2 weeks' notice for his first ever WrestleMania match, right? Maybe there's a little bit of that going on. Like, if that was happening, if that was the case, I can understand it. I know it doesn't make as much sense as some of these other ideas I've talked about. There's no story there at all if they go in this direction that I'm about to suggest. None at all. Outside of the obvious, which is that this other person also doesn't have a WrestleMania match. Not only does this other person not have a WrestleMania match, they didn't have a WrestleMania match last year either. That could be the story. You don't have a match. I don't have a match. I need to be at WrestleMania. You want to be at WrestleMania. Let's have a fight. And that man is Sheamus. If all else fails, if Nick Aldis, if it's not Nick Aldis, what about Sheamus? Where is Sheamus? Sheamus tweeted the other day, he just said, I'm available. This guy's sitting at home, he's watching, we're about to have another WrestleMania, and it's another WrestleMania where he's not even on the show. The last time Sheamus had a match at WrestleMania, he had that banger triple threat match at 39 with Drew McIntyre and Gunther, which was a fucking great match, one of the best triple threat matches you will ever see. And he's sitting at home and he's got nothing to do. Not hurt, as far as anybody knows. If all else fails, why not just do Orton and Sheamus and just let them go out there and have a really good match? Anything would be better than what they were teasing for Randy Orton on this show tonight. And I know Sheamus isn't even on SmackDown. I know he's on Raw, but who gives a shit? You had an injury, right? So you gotta make some decisions here. It doesn't matter. It's not like the brand split has ever stopped them from doing something like this before anyway. It's WrestleMania season. People can cross borders, you know, every week if they want to. But I still think that the Solo Sikoa thing is probably a red herring. We'll find out next week. When the show is over, again, I just sat here and said, I think The Rock stole more than just John Cena's soul. He stole SmackDown's soul too. Where is the soul of this show? It is a soulless, emotionless show. We are 8 days out from WrestleMania. Does it feel like we are on the road to WrestleMania, like in a major way right now? Don't lie. I mean, maybe it does on Raw. You might feel differently about Monday Night Raw, but I don't feel this way about SmackDown right now. It sucks. Now, on the final SmackDown before WrestleMania next week, John Cena will make his return. We're going to have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. That will be held on SmackDown next week. They didn't announce who's in it. They didn't put anybody in the graphic unless I missed it. But the Battle Royal will take place on the show next week. Zelina Vega, Katana Chance, and Caden Carter are going to take on the Green Regime of Chelsea Green, Piper Niven, and Alba Fire. And the Street Profits are going to defend their WWE tag team titles against the Motor City Machine Guns. Now, I said that we have the lineups for WrestleMania Night 1 and 2. Let's run through them right now. This is the WrestleMania Saturday lineup. 7 matches on Saturday, headlined by Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins. Right, we already know that's the main event on Night 1. Gunther and Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship. Charlotte Flair and Tiffany Stratton for the WWE Women's Championship. Jade Cargill against Naomi. The Viking Raiders against The New Day for the World Tag Team titles. Rey Mysterio against Grande Americano. I'm happy for Chad Gable. At least Chad Gable's getting an actual match, an actual singles match. He's not wrestling as himself, but I'm happy for him that he's at least on the card. And LA Knight will defend the United States Championship against Jacob Fatu. 7 matches, that is the lineup for WrestleMania Saturday. WrestleMania Sunday, 6 matches. Although, of course, that's pending whatever Randy Orton's match is going to be. I would assume then that Randy Orton will be wrestling on WrestleMania Sunday. So that way we'll have 7 on Saturday, 7 on Sunday. Right now it's at 6. John Cena and Cody Rhodes in the main event for the WWE Championship. Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Triple Threat for the Women's World Championship. Bron Breakker, Penta, Dominic Mysterio, Finn Balor, Fatal 4-Way for the Intercontinental title. Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest are going to have a Sin City street fight. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez defend the women's tag team titles against Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. And last but not least, AJ Styles one-on-one with Logan Paul. I will tell you that as of this moment, as I look at these lineups, I give the edge tonight too. I have to give the slight edge tonight too. And again, whatever Randy Orton's match is going to be, very likely going to be taking place on night two. So I don't know about the match order, but at least now we know what matches are taking place on which night. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of SmackDown from Seattle? You know, Seattle is known for all the rain that it gets. We've been getting quite a bit of rain here in New York. It's raining right now outside my window. 38.8% thumbs up for tonight's show. 36% thumbs in the middle, and 25% thumbs down. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, Roy. New Day and War Raiders is a WrestleMania match. Street Profits and Motor City Machine Guns are not. But yeah, this is a pretty fucking terrible score here for SmackDown. Roughly 39% thumbs up for tonight's show. We are a week out from WrestleMania. Man, they should be lighting it up right now, man. We should be excited. We're on the road to WrestleMania. I almost fell asleep during some of the segments tonight. But that Chelsea Green Zelina Vega segment was just such a it was such a slap in their face. Like, I cannot imagine that they heard what they were doing on the show tonight, and they went out there and they were happy about what they were doing. There's no way. There's no way. They have too much pride in their work to be given that dreck and actually be happy with what they were given. I refuse to believe that. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. Guys, there are a lot of things that you can do in 3 to 6 months. Maybe you want to take acting lessons. In 3 to 6 months, though, you're probably not going to be all that good. You could hit the weights at the gym, try to bulk up, and still not make a dent in your physique, especially if your diet doesn't change. You could decide you want to train to become a pro wrestler. Unless you're Kurt Angle, you're probably not going to be that good in 3 to 6 months. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Call it the Hims effect. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. Hims makes the process simple and convenient, and it's 100% online. So there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. You don't need to have a panic attack sitting in some waiting room. This eliminates all of that stress. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is then sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/solomonster. That's hims.com/solomonster for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/solomonster. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Let's take a look at your super chats. Thank you for hanging out with me tonight. Always fun to be with you guys. Hey, Holiday 197. Before we get to the list on screen here, let's start with our boy Holiday. Triple H said in a video that he can't wait to see the look on the faces of the fans when they see the WrestleMania 41 stage. Some people are speculating that it will be a casino entrance. I am excited to find out. Yeah, I'm excited too. I'll tell you what though, man. That WrestleMania 33. WrestleMania 33 and WrestleMania 39 are the two best stages they ever had, as far as I'm concerned. And those are going to be tough to top. Hey, Jake, what's going on, Jake? Salute the tribal chief. I mean, if it could be in that same league as those two entrances, it'll be among the best they've ever done. So I always look forward to seeing what the WrestleMania stage looks like. You're in Las Vegas. You know, you got to do it up good. You got to really capitalize on that Vegas theme. Honey deep fried chicken with flavor. Here's my solution. And it's not that overcomplicated. Randy Orton against Nick Aldis. If Randy Orton wins, he's granted a title match after WrestleMania. If Randy loses, he has to serve a 6-month suspension. You are doing exactly what you just said that you did not want to do. You are overcomplicating it. It doesn't have to have any stipulation. Just do the match. Randy wins. And then depending on who comes out of WrestleMania with the WWE Championship, you're going into Backlash in St. Louis. I don't think you need a stipulation to stipulate that Randy Orton will be number one contender. You don't even need it. You don't even need it. Holiday says it's not a good sign when you have a gauntlet match the week before WrestleMania, taking up time which you should dedicate to your WrestleMania match builds. Yes, well, it's building to a WrestleMania match. We now have a tag team title match at WrestleMania, so you can't say that it's not building to a WrestleMania match. It actually is. So I disagree on that. Honey Deep Fried Chicken says, give up. I have officially given up on the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. My interest for those belts are in a coma. Only now they're in a coma? They've been in a coma for probably a year now. What are you doing? Quizzical one. What do Medusa and a blunt have in common? No matter which option you choose, you're guaranteed to get stoned. Happy Friday, Solo. Happy Friday, Quizzical one. Face Beerus Charlotte looks like a poodle in the thumbnail. Does she? I don't have it in front of me. Poodle's one of the only dogs I can pet without starting to sneeze because they're hypoallergenic. I dated a girl once who had a poodle named Waffle. Fucking dog. That dog was so old. I felt sorry for the dog, honestly. Like, had to be carried up and down the stairs. Oh, poor Waffle. Holiday 197. It's disappointing that the WWE tag team titles will not be defended at WrestleMania when it's rumored the world tag team titles will be. Well, it's no longer rumored, brother. It's confirmed. Arabian Night, can't wait for a 9-minute tag team title match and Andre Battle Royal. Why not put them on the kickoff? Instead, we will get a 2-hour nothing pre-show. The Prophet, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. That's actually a very good point. They announced today, this is obscene. Like, I talk about how long the AEW pay-per-views are, and rightfully so. Like, there was no reason for Dynasty to be fucking 5 hours plus. But like, they just announced today, I think each night of WrestleMania is going to have a 3-hour pre-show. Like, that is asinine. And now when you consider the fact that, yeah, there's going to be no matches on there, but they're going to have a 3-hour pre-show. Like, to take the SmackDown Tag Team title match, for example, and give them a chance to go out there in the stadium, right, technically at WrestleMania, and fill some time on the pre-show when you have so much, just so many hours of time to kill, and they're not even doing that, is ridiculous. You're absolutely right. How are you going to have a pre-show that long and not have any matches? Some of these matches, you're just throw them away on SmackDown. Like, I know you got to fill time on SmackDown too, but like, come on, man. If you're doing one tag team title match in the stadium, you could do both. I saw that. I couldn't believe it. I said, there's no way that's the real start time. But it is. But get ready, I guess. You'll have 3 hours of, you know, Peter Rosenberg and the crew just going over the matches over and over and over again. Enjoy. I won't be watching. Orioles Peak. After all of the hateful comments towards Charlotte, I hope she buries the fuck out of Miss Tiffy. Kaiser should have been flattered. It's the most relevant his sorry ass has been and will ever be in his career. Well, I assume you saw Kaiser's response. After Charlotte name-dropped him last week, he posted a clip from a segment on Raw back in 96 when Shawn Michaels was feuding with the British Bulldog, and they did a storyline where Diana Smith, Bulldog's wife, was accusing Shawn of coming on to her. And he just posted a clip of Shawn's response. I remember watching that. He goes, I think it was like, with all due respect, don't flatter yourself. So Kaiser told Charlotte, don't flatter yourself. Duff's Vids. What kind of dog never barks? A hush puppy.
You suck.
Duff's Vids. And there are a lot of early ones. We haven't even hit the list yet. Orioles Peak. Says, making fun of Charlotte's looks as rich as if the work Tiffy had done isn't obvious. Charlotte gets heat that these jerks' favorites only could dream of. Orioles Peak, standing up for Charlotte Flair for all the abuse that she has taken on social media this week. I think Orioles Peak realizes that she's newly divorced and she's available. Orioles Peak, I'll put a word in for you if you want me to. I don't know that it's going to make a difference, but I'm happy to help in any way that I can. We have Nick with a $10 super chat. I'm just baffled at how thrown together this WrestleMania feels, given how much they love to waffle. There's waffle again. Waffle on about long-term storytelling. Like, I look at Liv and Solo, who had these big 2024s, and just nothing. Yeah, again, it's just a very uninspiring card, the way it's all kind of come together. I just look at it and hope, you know what? There have been times in the past, you know, whether it's WrestleMania or other PLEs, where you go into it and it feels kind of underwhelming or very underwhelming, and sometimes those end up being sleeper shows. Like, I think WrestleMania this year has the potential to be great. I'm kind of hoping the fact that I feel the way I feel maybe will, you know, it'll be another one of those examples where you go into it like your expectations maybe are kind of low and, you know, they end up hitting you with a great show. Maybe it'll be one of those years. Shin Superkick Akuma. Let me get a try at this. Why did the samurai switch clans? Because clans change. Ugh. I won't beat you up too badly because you were just... You were giving it your best shot, but... Man. Duff's Vids, did you hear about the kidnapping at the school? It's fine, he woke up. You know what's funny about this? We go from Duff's Vids, and Sidro is with us tonight. There he is. Sidro, he abandoned me there for a while, but we go from Duff's Vids to Sidro. They're right on top of each other, right? Like, I'm looking at this in the chat right now with Sidro. Duff's Vids has been doing his best to try to kind of be the, almost like the new Sidro when Sidro is not here. And now they're both together in the chat. We may have a fight breakout right here and now. Sidro says, brother, always tore out last pages of my comic books and never said why. Had to draw my own conclusions. And FYI, Russian dolls are so full of themselves. Duff's Vids. I lost my job at the bank on my first day. A woman asked me to check her balance, so I pushed her over. Wrong balance. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now we got a little competition going here with Duff's Vids and Psycho Sidro here. Super Pony. Randy Orton. Went from KO to solo. What a downgrade. Yeah. Well, let's hope it's just throwing us off and they'll hit us. Because, look, they could have just announced it tonight. If it was going to be Solo Sikoa, they just could have come out and announced it. Yeah, there was another idea that I had that I actually forgot to mention before. And if it's not Nick Aldis, and if it's not... It's not going to be Sheamus. I just kind of threw that out there. There is an idea where Solo Sikoa could be involved. But you could try to make it a little bit better. Which is... And let me know your thoughts on this. If they wanted to do a tag team match, so you do Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga to get them both on the show against Randy Orton and a partner of his choosing or a mystery partner, however you want to couch it, and then use that mystery spot to debut somebody new like an Aleister Black. Because the one thing I don't think that they should do is have Randy Orton go in there against somebody new who's just debuting. Or more specifically, in Aleister Black, as we know he's coming in. Just because I think Orton needs to win at WrestleMania. If he's going to go to St. Louis, if he's going to be possibly in the championship match, have a big match of Backlash, he can't lose at WrestleMania. And I don't want to see him go in there with, like, Aleister Black making his big return and then he fucking loses. You know, because Randy has to win. But what if it was a tag match and he debuted as his partner? And of course, they would go over in the end. I don't hate that idea. That could potentially be a cool way to introduce him back to the roster. So even that idea, I would take that idea over just doing Randy and Solo one-on-one. It's just so unappealing to me. Snowdog says they should bring Matt Riddle back. Reform RK-Bro for WrestleMania. Yeah, I don't see that. Sidro has renewed for 9 months as a channel member. I once lived in a houseboat, and I was in love with the girl next door. In the end, we drifted apart. Nick Grasso with the 1999. First the parking lot attack and then the post-match attack. How much more can Charlotte bury Tiffany? Seriously, Tiffany has looked terrible this entire build, and if she doesn't retain at WrestleMania after all this, oh boy, it's going to be bad. Yeah, I mean, I guess technically she got her ass kicked twice tonight, didn't she? Right? She got attacked in the parking lot, and then she got left laying by Charlotte during the show. Hydrograd 57, I was considering going to SmackDown tonight, but decided not to since this show has been a bore for weeks. No different tonight. Glad I saved my time and money. How much were those tickets going for? $500 apiece? Duff's Vids, I told my doctor I heard buzzing, but he said it's just a bug going around. No Solo versus Orton at WrestleMania 41. Noel Mulligan, thank you for the $11. Says, hi, Sala Monster. I am a care assistant for my mother, who is very ill at the moment. Your show keeps us going. My mother's favorites are Ric Flair and the Iron Sheik in his shoot interviews. I see your mom has good taste. The Iron Sheik shoot interviews are legendary. Well, I don't know what's ailing her, but I certainly hope, if at all possible, she gets better, or at least, you know, is able to rely upon you for whatever assistance she may need. I'm sure you'll be there for her. I don't really know what else to say. It's a shitty situation whenever any relative is ill, let alone your parent. But I'm thinking about her, I'm thinking about you, and I thank you very much for the support. It does mean a lot. Hey, Kingnader, as if the 20 gifted memberships earlier wasn't cool enough, he dropped a $40 bomb earlier in the stream. The king has spoken. Michael, SmackDown looking like the Mets in September, injured or missing. This is going to be our year. You can mock and make fun all you want to, but this is going to be our year. I'm telling you. Matt Fisher, Tiffany and Charlotte is the match I actually care about. It's either going to be amazing or it's going to be a pile of Russo. Pretty much, yeah. I don't really think there's going to be any in between on that. Like I said last week, I just hope they have better in-ring chemistry than they do on the microphone. Number one, Homo Sapien, with 6 months of channel membership, came in a little late after watching New Japan's Windy City Riot. Yes, they had a show in Chicago tonight. And as a matter of fact, Willie Eichard, the Chicago Slayer, one of our loyal listeners, he and Mama Eichard were actually in attendance at that show. And I saw he sent a picture on Twitter, always representing the Sound Off. Mama Eichard had a Sound Off shirt on. Always love seeing that. So I haven't read up on that show at all. I don't know what happened. I don't know how good it was or wasn't. Hopefully it was a good show. I am sure it was better than SmackDown. We got Zachary Black. I hate saying this with WrestleMania being in effing Vegas for this lackluster build this year. Will both nights end up as 6 to 9 hours each? Man, I just feel these this build could have been better. Still plan on watching with the wife. Peace. God, when you put it like that, 6 to 9 hours, including the pre-show? That's just brutal. But again, you don't have to sit through the pre-show because there's no matches. There's no matches announced for the pre-show, so I'll be doing other things as I prepare for WrestleMania each night. Blue Jay. The disrespect to Shamrock is insane. Not Punk. I really thought that they would maybe have Shamrock do the induction for that match, but they're going with CM Punk. CM Punk is the bigger name of the two. That's who they're going with. Demetrius Hodge, Jimmy Hart should induct the Disasters. That would make sense. Yeah, he managed the Natural Disasters. I just throw Cody out there because of the family connection to Typhoon, but yeah, I would agree. I would say if not Cody, then Jimmy would make sense. We have Give Me Backshot, Solomonster. You keep asking, but I'm not going to. Thoughts on heel Naomi winning Money in the Bank this year? I could get behind that. I'm not going to make any predictions right now or say that she would be my pick because it's too early for that, but she would definitely be on my short list, especially the way this heel turn is going so far. If she really continues to like embrace it and commit to it, I'd be down for that. We got King Nader with another $32 super chat. Buy or sell on the worst build, WrestleMania 28 or WrestleMania 41. I have had to struggle to get through these shows. It's unbelievable. Hey, Solo, I hope you are doing well. I am doing well. Thank you for asking. I hope you're doing well as well. Sounds a little redundant. Now, the worst build, WrestleMania 28 or 41, man. It's tough when I get these questions because now I have to remember what the build was like for each WrestleMania. And like, I don't remember what the build was for all the WrestleManias. I'm trying to think of that one. I was at that WrestleMania. That was the first WrestleMania I ever went to live. Obviously, everything was built around Rock and Cena. The end of an era, Hell in a Cell match, Punk and Jericho. I don't think I was really a big fan of the Punk and Jericho build. I remember Jericho, I think, hit Punk in the head with a whiskey bottle. And what was he talking about, his alcoholic father or something? And I remember he went to hit him in the head with the whiskey bottle and it was like gimmicked. And the bottle broke before it even hit his head. I remember that. Yeah, that sucked. What else happened on that show? Oh, well, I mean, Sheamus won the world title in 18 seconds. You know what? I would say this build has probably been better than that. I don't remember the WrestleMania 28 build being all that great at all outside of the Rock Cena stuff. Didn't they do Randy Orton against Kane on the undercard on that show? Yeah, he tripped. Right, he tripped. Yeah, because after the bottle broke, there was like a puddle on the floor and fucking Jericho slipped. Base Beerus, can you do a keg stand? I'm not going to try. Maybe. But I'm not going to try. We got Willie with the three. Were you surprised that Cody mentioned Brock's name? I wasn't expecting it, but, you know, I mean, it's not that like a huge surprise or anything. I guess I wasn't expecting it, so it was surprising a little bit, but like, yeah, whatever. It was like a quick mention and then he moved on. It's not really a big deal. Tracking problem. SmackDown needs the future world champion that is Mike Ball Speed Bailey. I think he would be a terrible fit in WWE. I really do. I think the right decision was for him to go to AEW. I just think his style works so much better there than it would in WWE. Also says, it's an eye patch. Drew looks like the woman from Thriller, A Cruel Picture. Look it up. Effed up film. I've never heard of it. Base Beer is the Kevin Owens interview with Van Vliet is great. Yeah, I haven't finished it yet, but I watched a good chunk of it. I mean, most of Chris's interviews are great. And really, any interview that I've ever heard Owens in, he's great. But yeah, I have to finish that one. I'm pretty sure it was recorded before the injury, though. I don't think any of that is covered. Near, RIP KC, a true OG and a walking wrestlingpedia. Yes, indeed. We've talked about him a lot here on the streams this week. And he will be missed. Thank you, Near. King Nader with that 20 drop, the 20 gifted memberships. Oh my God, unbelievable. Just in time for WrestleMania season, no less. Number one, Homo Sapiens. Sounds like I made the right choice to watch 3.5 hours of New Japan instead of 3 hours of SmackDown. New Japan goes by in a blink of an eye as opposed to SmackDown dragging on forever. Oh, I could tell you, I haven't even seen the New Japan show, and I could tell you, you made the right decision. Jeremy, actually, wait a minute. Wasn't this the Tanahashi's final match on U.S. soil? Wasn't he wrestling Takeshita tonight? I believe that was on this show tonight. Gonna have to try to check that out. Jeremy Rose, do you think Bianca's WrestleMania streak should continue so they have a story in the future? If she doesn't win the triple threat but isn't beaten, does the streak continue? No. If she's in the match and doesn't win, then the streak is over. And honestly, I don't really give a shit about... the only streak that ever mattered at WrestleMania is over. So I don't really care. If she wins, that's great. I don't want her to win just because, oh, we don't want to beat Bianca. She has this streak. Like, who gives a shit? I hope that's not going to be the determining factor in who goes over in this match. Jose Martinez, Solomonster, you sexy beast. Me? Thank you, brother. Bruce with the $4.99. Not Bruce. Bruce is here. This Mania build is missing The Rock. What was the point of having him involved if he's not going to be on TV for a month? You're preaching to the choir here, brother. I don't know. He's The Rock. He does what he wants. Dan Richards with 22 months of membership. Every year they leave a guy off the card that probably should be on the card in case of an injury. Solo was probably that guy this year. So is Sheamus. Solo is not the only one who was... this guy. What about this guy? Sami Zayn. Solo's not the only guy. I'm just saying. Project Libertad. John Moxley's title run and Death Rider crap is making me feel like Vince was right about Moxley, and I hate that. Yeah, it's bad. 8-9 Tech. Buy, sell, scrap. Cena's rivals. Edge, Punk, and Orton. Well, I'm going to buy on Punk. I'm going to... I mean, sell and scrap are kind of the same thing. I'm going to say buy, rent, and scrap. How about that? I'm going to rent on Edge, and I'm going to scrap Orton. Because I don't care what people say. Just because somebody wrestles a million fucking times doesn't mean that it's a great feud. I wouldn't call Cena and Orton some great, wonderful feud when you've got, you know, CM Punk and Edge right there to show you what a real great feud with John Cena could look like. And even AJ Styles, frankly. The Winston slip. Which state has the smallest soft drinks? Minnesota. Oh my God. They get worse. They somehow get worse. Jonathan, been listening since day one. How is day one? We're going all the way back to 2007. That's how far back Jonathan goes. We're going to have episode 909 this weekend. He goes all the way back to episode one. Jonathan, I thank you very much for the $6. It is much appreciated. I always love hearing from the OGs. Thank you, brother. The comedic genius. Sidro against Duffs is a better build than WrestleMania, to be honest. You know what? I think it is. You mean to tell me that you wouldn't want to see Sidro one-on-one with Duffs vids? You'd rather watch Tiffany and Charlotte after the build that we've had so far? I don't believe you. Eminem with a $25 super chat. Brie wanted to make a cameo with her drinking abilities. Why couldn't they just announce Orton against Aldis at WrestleMania? It's almost like Ted DiBiase Jr. will make an appearance next week and talk legacy. Oh, God, no. Why would you even suggest that? That'd be a terrible idea. Now, I think DiBiase's got bigger issues to deal with. I think, doesn't he have charges that are still pending? He may end up in the pokey by the time this is all said and done. Sidro. Read the other day that people eat more bananas than monkeys. No surprises there. I can't even remember the last time I ate a monkey. Hashtag never drift apart. What am I going to do with you? Arabian Night. No excuse not to have Chelsea and the Prophets at the WrestleMania kickoff. Oh, they may be there, but doesn't look like they'll be wrestling. They have a week. They could always change their mind. Alexander, Brother Solo, why is Liv stuck in the tag team championship run? She should be top of the card, and when the hell will my queen Alexa be on top of again? Bliss fan, do you have multiple accounts here? Is that you? Tonga Loa Superfan. Oh boy. Tonga Loa Superfan. The Rock was seen wearing a New Japan shirt on Instagram. Who was in New Japan last year before joining WWE? The alarm bells are going off that Tonga Loa is going to be revealed as the third man with John Cena and The Rock at WrestleMania. Oh, there are alarm bells going off, all right. I think you've got some guys in white coats who are outside your door ringing your doorbell. You might want to go answer that. Again, you can't have a third man when there's no second man. There's still some people who are hung up on this theory of a third man. I'd like to know where the second man is because we haven't seen him in over a month. How can you have a third man when there's only one man? And even then, he's barely around. Third man. Sidro. You may be American when you go to the restroom. You may be American when you leave the restroom. But do you know what you are when you're in there?
Oh, my God.
I can't even say. You may be American when you go to the restroom. You may be American when you leave the restroom. But do you know what you are when you're in there? European. I can't. European. All right. Sidro just pulled ahead. You ever see those races like the Kentucky Derby or whatever where it's like the two horses are neck and neck? It like very, very close, and then one of them just kind of pulls away at the last minute. I feel like that's Sidro right now. Oh, man. European. Project Libertad. Reminder that if, God forbid, Moxley manages to retain it all in, we go to another filler season with Forbidden Door, which means more Death Riders. Now, why did you have to say that? Why did you have to put that evil out there? RDS Harry, 2005 Samoa Joe against Jacob Fatu. Who wins? It's a tough one, but I got to go 2005 Samoa Joe. That's my guy, Samoa Joe, man. Back then, Ring of Honor Samoa Joe. Yeah, he was the fucking man. Chris Mikesell. Again, with that $150 Super Chat bomb. Congrats again to you and young Anthony Solo Mikesell. Wishing you all the best. Tongaloa Superfan. Oh, he's not done yet. Don't be surprised when Tongaloa gets revealed as the surprise special guest referee for Cody and Cena. WWE got to drive more ticket sales for WrestleMania, and Tongaloa is just the man to do it. Yeah, driving ticket sales into the ground, perhaps, but he could be an usher, right? He could be like, hey, look, even Nick Khan was an usher once upon a time at WrestleMania in Las Vegas. That could be Tongaloa this year. You know what that means? If Tongaloa is an usher at WrestleMania this year in Las Vegas like Nick Khan was, that means in 20 years, Tongaloa might run WWE. He might be the president. He might run the entire company. Little Baby Fire Panda with the $50 bomb. I'm about to say it. Raquel Rodriguez has one of the better Def Rebel songs. You should check out the video Karrion Kross posted about the AJ versus Paul match at Mania. It is very good. I haven't seen it yet, but you know, Karrion Kross, a lot of the stuff that he does on social media is some of his best stuff, and we never get to see it on TV. I'm sure it is good. By the way, it's funny you mentioned Def Rebel. I'm gonna be covering a story about that on the podcast this weekend. Very interesting stuff. I didn't think it was possible to hate the current music situation in WWE and what these guys do more than I do, but I actually found a way. But I'll talk about that on Sound Off 909 this weekend. Fire Panda, thank you. Thank you very much. 89 Tech just saw some of Menace Orton highlights. Who sold best and worst of the punt kick? For me, Shane sold it pretty bad when he got kicked. Yeah, Shane, I don't remember Shane's sell being great. I mean, you know, it's hard for me to rate the sell because when you get kicked in the head, there's not a whole lot to sell. It's like you get kicked in the head and you fall down. That's it. You put your head down. It's not like taking a stunner where you can kind of bounce up into the air and you could put a little something extra on it, right? There's not a whole lot to do. I'm trying to remember. I think Shane got kicked in the head and didn't he like stall and then he kind of just like put his head down? Maybe Vince, you know, he kicked Vince pretty good in the head. Navy 4181. After Cena was in the Marine, his replacement was Miz. Who would be Hogan's replacement for a straight to DVD No Holds Barred sequel? Ric Flair? You talking now or are you talking a sequel back in the day? Probably Beefcake. He would give the role. He would give the role to his friend Brutus over there. Yeah, I'm sure that would do real well. Project Libertad Tanahashi said he liked the ending to Dynasty. Well, look, I mean, Tanahashi's been doing this a long time. You know, CTE is a very real thing. So, and Leopoldo says, woohoo, Sidro broke solo, a rare feat indeed. Well, it does happen from time to time. It's been known to happen. Rare, but it's not impossible. Anyway, thank you guys. Yes, Sidro says more like Tanahashi on that comment. I don't know where people are getting this from in the chat, that Def Rebel has signed for 10 more years. I hope you're not wishing that. No, that's not what the story is about. The story is about the way in which they go about doing their music. And it just makes me shake my head. But we'll talk about that on Sunday. All right, let's take a look at the... we are 8 out of 10 on the second goal in the chat, by the way. That brought us up to 8. So we're not quite there yet for a bonus Be the Booker, but we're getting there. But right now, we got one round to give you guys. So let's not waste any more time here. This is the way you end a week. You end a week by booking a card. Let's find out what happens in Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now.
Oh my God, it's The Rock.
Be the Booker.
Whatever happened to this guy? Look at this guy grooming Cody in this photo. I want your soul, he says. He says, I want your soul. Here we go. Tag team Be the Booker. Oh, I just realized. Hold on a second here. We have hit the goal. The second goal for a bonus round to Be the Booker. 10 out of 10, which means we are getting two rounds. We are, in fact, getting two rounds of Be the Booker. This is basically our WrestleMania night one and night two. All right, so let's do night one first and see how this goes. And we begin with A-Town Down Under. Austin Theory, and Grayson Waller. They are kicking us off here in Be the Booker. Where they have been, what they have been doing, I have no idea. They're still around. They're not doing anything right now, but they're around. And they will be wrestling the two dudes with attitude. Diesel and Shawn Michaels. You know what? I'm giving that the bell. Because I actually think, as a match, it could be pretty good. We all know who's going over. I mean, there's no surprise there as far as who's going over in the match. But as a match, I actually think it could be pretty good. Call me crazy. Come on. It's Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels in there with Austin Theory. In there with Grayson Waller. You know what? You got to do this spot. Waller does that move where he goes outside the ring, and then he dives in, and he does that little roll. He's got to dive into the ring and roll right into a super kick. Like, he has to. You have to do it. All right, we have Xia Li. They've been teasing a breakup for over a year. I think they've been teasing a breakup with them for 2 years now. Xia Li kicking us off here in Women's Be the Booker. Against Lacey Evans. For my WrestleMania night one, I don't think so. Yeah, Zaya's been coming up a lot, hasn't she? All right, main event time. And, well, of course, as soon as I said WrestleMania main event, look who pops up here. The Game. Triple H, once again, is in the WrestleMania main event. He's got two belts here in this photo. He's trying to win a third. Triple H. One-on-one. With Triple H. Triple H against Triple H in the main event of WrestleMania. You know who I think booked this match? Triple H. That's who I think booked it. Now, who goes over? Who gets buried? Maybe they bury each other beneath the earth. They just start digging holes and like throwing dirt on each other. It's going to be a very, very political match. Like, I would love to be a fly on the wall in that booking meeting. Which version of Triple H? The version you're looking at right here. This is the 2002 version of Triple H. The best version, the best in-ring version of Triple H is still 2000. He was never the same after the first quad tear. But in 2000, like as far as like his like physical peak, like that was Triple H at his best. That was 25 years ago. Unbelievable. I cannot believe that we booked Triple H against Triple H. And now for, I can't believe that. And now for WrestleMania Night 2, we do stipulations. How can you be a fly since you're booking it? It's a good point. Maybe I just want to be a fly. Maybe I just want to be Jeff Goldblum, okay? How do you know? All right, now we pick stipulations here for the second round, which you have unlocked here tonight. So I think we're going to start with the women's match. All right, let's pick a stip for the women. It's going to be a women's I Quit match. Okay, so now we know what the stakes are here for this match. A women's I Quit match. What? Wait, what? Oh, shit. Never mind. Ignore that. I forgot we were still on stips. We're sticking with I Quit. We're not going with that one. All right, I Quit match. Mercedes Moné. The Belt Collector is going to be in an I Quit match. She's already quit WWE. Will she quit here in this match? Let's find out. Mercedes is going to go one-on-one against Riho in an I Quit match. How are we feeling about this? Because I'll tell you what, Mercedes and Riho in an I Quit match, it gets a bell from me. It gets a bell from me. Mercedes would torture this poor girl. You remember how like sadistic Sasha Banks could be back in the NXT days? Like what she was doing to Bayley in their Brooklyn match. Bayley had the bad hand and she was torturing her and stomping on the hand. Like imagine what she would do to Riho here in this match. Yeah. Goodbye, Riho. You're done. Whatever happened to Riho anyway? It's like I think she got hurt and then we never saw her again. All right, let's pick the stip for our tag team match. Final tag team match here of the night. Oh my God. It's going to be a tag team Firefly Funhouse match. This is a first. This is a first. A tag team Firefly Funhouse match. Riho got re-hurt, says Sidro. The wind blew Riho away. Is that what I saw? I saw something out my window a few months ago, and I couldn't tell what it was. Maybe it was her. I think I saw Riho flying by. It was a really windy day here in New York. We had wind gusts of up to like 40, 50 miles an hour. It might have been Riho that went blowing by. I don't know where she landed. All right, Tag Team Firefly Funhouse. Braun Strowman and Ricochet. Oh my God, I forgot about their tag team run. Braun Strowman and Ricochet. And their opponents are going to be Randy Orton forces Adam Pearce to add a stipulation to your match. Oh boy, you know what that means. We got to pick a new stipulation now. Firefly Funhouse is voided. We have to pick a step. We're starting over. We have got to pick a new step, and it is going to be a tag team first blood match. Okay, so first blood match. Now we know what we're working with here. We're going to keep Braun and Ricochet, though. But their opponents are going to be Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett in a first blood tag team match. Man, can you imagine Owen Hart and Ricochet in the ring together? I actually like this match a lot. Braun Strowman and Ricochet against Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett in a first blood match. I'm actually very focused on Deborah right now. Good. Good stuff. I belled the women's match, right? Okay, so we had a bell for the tag match. We had a bell for the women's match. And so we have one match left to go. Yeah, that would be a good match. All right. Stipulation here for the main event. It is going to be a stretcher match. Solid Monster fighting demons right now. I got the demon within. All right, stretcher match. Very good. All right, here we go. We got one last match. And we have Latino Heat. My God, are you kidding me? I just got done talking about Cody Rhodes pointing to the Undisputed title and name-dropping Eddie Guerrero on the show tonight, and we land on a picture of Eddie Guerrero holding the Undisputed title. Wow. It's like it was meant to be. Of all the nights. Man. That's awesome. Eddie Guerrero against Will Ospreay. Can I give this another bell? I have to give that a double bell. That's unbelievable for a main event here. Eddie Guerrero and Will Ospreay. Now that is a WrestleMania match that unfortunately we never had the chance to see. And again, Eddie was a little bit older, so you know Ospreay now, of course, he's in his prime years here. And Eddie, how old would Eddie be? Eddie would be. What would he be? Late 50s? When Eddie died, he was 30. No, how old was Eddie? He was like 38, right? That was 2005. Yeah, so he'd probably be late 50s, maybe close to 60 by now. That honestly, like no joke, that is one of the best Be the Booker matches that we have ever booked. That's amazing. What a great match that would have been. Devin from New Jersey, buy or sell. The bank robbery scene from Heat or The Dark Knight? Oh, man. I'm inclined to say Heat. I love, first of all, The Dark Knight is my favorite movie. So that's why it's so tough. But that scene from Heat, the bank heist is, like for me, one of the all-time great movie scenes. So I'm kind of conflicted on this. So while it is close, I have to go Heat. But I love them both. Nick Grasso, have you watched WWE Evolve yet? And if so, who are your favorite prospects? I saw the first couple of episodes. I haven't watched the recent ones. There was a woman on there. Oh, God, I forgot her name. She was teaming with the kind of bubbly, happy-go-lucky girl. They were a tag team on that first episode. I forgot the girl's name. She was impressive. I get a kick out of the whole Cappuccino Jones thing. Keanu Carver was another one who impressed me. There were a few people who impressed me. Jack Cartwheel. I just, I haven't kept up with it. The last show I saw was probably the second one. It was the one that had Kylie Rae when she first wrestled. I think that was episode 2. But thank you, Nick. Oh, Swipe Right. That's right. Swipe Right. It's a pretty funny, gimmick. Ah, yes. Callie Armstrong. Someone said the blonde guy in Swipe Right looks like a Disney Channel villain. You know what? He does kind of look like something out of the Disney Channel. Yeah, or like one of those boy bands. What is the best stretcher match of all time? The one that I enjoyed the most, there was a stretcher match that Big Show and Brock had back at, I want to say Judgment Day, maybe in 2003, somewhere around there. Stretcher matches in general are just not good. They're just not. Like the stipulation, you got to push the stretcher over like a yellow line. It's very stupid. So it's a tough stipulation to work with anyway, but that was probably the one that I enjoyed the most. Sidro, Goodfellas or Casino? Also been watching LFG. No, I have not. I've had way too much going on. And now Dark Side of the Ring is back, so I've been watching that and then having to take notes and just do some research on that on certain things. So I've been very busy, but Goodfellas. Yeah, Goodfellas. I mean, I enjoy both movies, but come on. Goodfellas is Goodfellas. Casino's great too, though. That scene lives rent-free in my head with Pesci when he's watching his brother get beaten to death. And they put them in the hole. I still think about that. Solo Sikoa is low-key one of the funniest wrestlers in the company. Great. Then let him host the roast of WrestleMania on Sunday night. Joe Pesci was technically in the first ever Buried Alive match. Oh, I got news for you. He wasn't in the first ever one. There were a lot of them before that. Well, thank you guys. I didn't realize how late it was. We've been having so much fun here. I'm going to be dropping a brand new podcast on you later in the afternoon on Sunday. That'll be episode 909. Covering a lot of stuff there, including a Dark Side of the Ring review on the episode on Vader. And I'll try to get some thoughts in there as well on the WrestleMania 9 documentary that dropped on Peacock. I did finally watch it. I say finally. I mean, it just dropped today, but I watched some of it in the morning. I finished it with dinner. It's almost 2 hours long. I didn't know it was going to be that long. I enjoyed it. You should check it out. It's a little long. I mean, it could probably stand to be maybe 90 minutes. But there's some good stuff in there, and I'll have some thoughts on that, I'm sure, on Sunday as well. The next time I'm live with you here on YouTube, though, will be Monday night. That'll be for the Raw post show, the final Raw before WrestleMania. And I hope you guys will be here to join me for that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. What's my favorite 70s movie? Halloween. Came out in 1978. The OG. Have I ever seen any Fast and Furious movies? Yeah, I saw the first two. I did not see Tokyo Drift. Should I see it? I don't know. I've heard mixed opinions on it. I saw the first two, and then I saw the one, whichever one it was that had The Rock for the first time. So whatever. I think that, well, I saw the fourth one. The fourth one, and then I saw the fifth one, I guess, would have been the first one with the Hobbs character. So I think I saw 1, 2, 4, and 5. And I think that was it. After a while, they just got completely ridiculous. I missed when it was just a movie about fast cars. I'll see you back here live for the post show on Monday night. Hit that like button on your way out. Until then, take care, guys.